In the Bible book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, followers of Jesus the Christ are given assurance that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. On this Words of Life program, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will tell us about this great love. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who prayerfully support this radio effort. We want all who hear to know Jesus and His love. After songs and a prayer, we will hear Brother Johnson's sermon. Friends, please pray with me. Lord, it is with gratitude of heart that we bow before you in prayer. Thank you for the salvation that is found only in the redemptive love of Jesus. It's hard for us to fully comprehend the extent of your love, but we do thank you. Please help each of our listeners to know Jesus and likewise meet their personal needs for health and peace. We pray for the effectiveness of this broadcast and for all other efforts that serve you. And Father, when you have finished with us here upon this earth, please take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak of the love of Christ.
It's a privilege to be together again, to look into the Word of God, to apply it to our lives, and to share its truths with others. The title for the lesson is The Love of Christ. And our text is in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Listen to the Word of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful, wonderful words that we surely believe from the Word of God. Assurance is a treasured possession. For example, assurance that we are loved. Assurance that we are healthy. Assurance that we are financially sound. Moreover, as Christians, we should have assurance in our salvation by and in our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, as born-again baptized believers. Due through our faith in Him and His work on the cross on our behalf. Assurance means strong confidence. It means having certainty, being convinced regarding our salvation because we trust, we believe, we rely upon the Word of God. For example, the words of Jesus Christ as penned by the Apostle John in the Gospel of John, chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Apostle John later clearly also wrote 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. May know with strong confidence in, having certainty, being convinced of our salvation in the Savior, as we have received Him personally through faith, through an obedient faith, living for Him because He died for us. Yet many people think or hope they have eternal life, even as Christians. However, if we have had honest, heartfelt confession of Christ as our Redeemer, through obedient faith, put Him on in baptism, are persevering in our faith in Him, we can know, we can have assurance of eternal life. We can know that now, today, not have to wait to get to heaven. Many people believe this is arrogance. No, it's assurance in the Word of God that reveals that we can know we have salvation. It's not about boasting. It's believing the Word of God. Our certainty is not based on a feeling, but faith, based on God's written promise to true believers regarding eternal life through the Son of God and His atoning work on the cross on our behalf. Assurance of salvation is reality, whether we feel close or sometimes far from God. In Christ, we are saved. Without Christ, we are not saved. There can be no other option. Our assurance is based on the facts of Scripture, not feelings of insecurity. We can know we have eternal life if we in fact believe God's written promise to us in His Son, by the Scriptures. Many years ago, a man asked evangelist D.L. Moody about his spiritual condition. He said he was worried because he didn't feel saved, wasn't sure if he was saved. D.L. Moody asked him, "Was Noah safe in the ark?" The man answered, "Certainly he was." D.L. Moody then added, "Well, what made him safe, his feelings or the ark?" The man got the all-important point. Feelings save no one. Being in Christ, who is like our ark, saves everyone who perseveres in Him through obedient faith. The reality is that it's not just about us holding on to Christ. It's God's hold on us through Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are sealed. We are saved. We are heaven bound. And God will never, ever let us go as long as we remain faithful to Him. Satan was sorely tempting a struggling Christian regarding his assurance of salvation. Finally, this uncertain Christian opened his Bible to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 to meditate on this scripture once again, to etch it into his mind and heart. The words, of course, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Then he said to the tempter, regarding this man's assurance, to the tempter, "Now you read this for yourself. What do you think it means? If you're still uneasy about your assurance of eternal life, perhaps you need to seriously examine your own heart and mind as to whether you have honestly repented and believed on Jesus Christ, confessing Him as your Savior and Lord, and so obeyed Him in baptism as you persevere in Him, striving to live for Him." A wonderful passage of Scripture can set forth the believer's unshakable assurance in our salvation due to the unassailable love of God for His people. Let's consider together the truths, the fabulous truths, found in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. The Apostle Paul evidently knew there were those in the first century church at Rome that had similar doubts as Christians do today regarding salvation, regarding assurance of salvation. Therefore, the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, wrote a concrete, crystal clear message to fortify our assurance and salvation in Christ Jesus. Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" Paul was writing from personal experience that he had suffered through all of these, and he remained faithful with God's help. Paul was just flesh and blood like us. We also, with God's help, can persevere in our faith. We who remain in Christ will never, ever be separated from the love of Christ. The truth here is His love for us cannot be severed for His own. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Not only live in this life, but live eternally in Him, for Him, because we live for Him as our Savior and Lord. We can have assurance of this. Therefore, God's love through His Son assures us of life eternal through persevering faith in Him. Furthermore, no matter what trouble, no matter what hardship we endure, remaining in Christ, believers cannot be separated from God's love. God said so, and we must believe it. And even if we doubt it, it's still true in Christ. We can never be separated from His love. Whatever we suffer need not drive us away from God. Instead, even in our sufferings, we can learn more dependence on Christ, to draw closer to Him, and allow His love to help us through whatever comes. In verse 37, it says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Meaning, with God's help, with Christ who is surely with us always, to the very end of the age, according to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, we can be victorious. We actually have part of the Godhead dwelling within the born-again baptized believer, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness as we surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit of God within us. More than conquerors is especially emphatic. It means we not only can defeat every enemy and conquer every hardship with God's help, we can be over conquerors. We can prevail. Not necessarily, of course, that the physical, temporal hardships and troubles will dissolve, but that by God's grace, by God's enabling, through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can exercise a faithfulness that cannot be denied or defeated. Yes, this does take maturing faith. But the remedy for assurance of eternal life, of salvation in Christ, remains solid if in our hearts and minds and wills we keep a firm faith in Christ, a firm faith in His love, which will make us more than conquerors. It's about faith from first to last, as we exercise that faith in our individual lives. Then Paul wrote something like an anthem of our assurance in verses 38 and 39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Many fear or feel that having to endure troubles or hardships or persecutions of all types must necessarily mean that God doesn't love us or care about us or has given up on us or rejects all of our prayers. In Christ, none of these are true. Of course, sometimes God does chasten and discipline us, but that's for our good, not bad, really. Consider Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 10 through 11 that says in part, "God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So, the love of Christ remains and abides in us even through sufferings, given or allowed. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God as we, steadfast in the Savior, remain faithful. Notice the very first of the 10 extreme examples is death, which is the great separator. Yet in Christ, this even death is but a door to eternal life. Max Lucado, a very fine Christian pastor, teacher, and popular author of many Christian books, in part writes, quote, "I make no claim to being a good golfer, but I love to play and watch golf. And on good nights, I even dream golf. So when I was invited to attend the Masters Golf Tournament, I was thrilled. A pass to the Masters is the golfer's holy grail. Mine came via pro golfer Scott Simpson. Off we went to the Augusta National Country Club in Georgia, where golf heritage hangs like moss from the trees. It wasn't enough to see the course and walk the grounds. I wanted to see the locker room where the clubs of Ben Hogan are displayed. But they wouldn't let me in. A guard stopped me at the entrance. I showed him my pass, but he shook his head. I told him I knew the golf pro, Scott Simpson, but that didn't matter. Only caddies and players, the guard explained. Well, he knew I wasn't a player or a caddy. Caddies are required to wear white coveralls. So I left, knowing I had made it all the way to the door, but was denied entrance. God has one solitary requirement for entrance into heaven, that we be clothed in Christ. When someone puts on Christ through obedient faith, Jesus, in an act visible only to the eyes of heaven, removes the stained robe and replaces it with his robe of righteousness. Jesus put on our coat of sin and wore it to the cross. As he died, his blood flowed over our sins, and they were cleansed. Because of this, we have no fear of being turned away at the door of heaven." End quote. Do you really believe that? If you do, then you should have complete assurance of your salvation, of inheriting eternal life with God. The love of Christ and His work on the cross guarantees it through faith in Him. This proving that God the Father accepted His Son's perfect substitutionary atoning sacrifice on the altar of the cross for the sin of the world, that He was buried, and that He was raised from the dead. In Christ, our assurance of salvation is further insured in that Jesus Christ continues today at the right hand of God to intercede on behalf of His true church. And one day, Christ will return to take His church, His bride, home to heaven. We can be assured of all these truths because God has promised, and God cannot lie. Praise God.
Oh,
It is wonderful to know that we are loved. Have you received this great love? Are you not yet a Christian? If you are not, please understand that you must first truly believe in Jesus, God's Son. The Bible teaches in the book of Acts especially that people who believe need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and then be baptized by immersion. We know that it would be best to also find a good Bible-believing church to help you. If we can answer your questions, please write to us. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, please write to us and ask for CD 1850. That's 1850. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.